Welcome to the St. Ninians Community Church Lent Podcasts. Thank you for listening. It's Graham here again. As we continue with our Lent theme for 2021 of encounters with Jesus, today's passage takes us to the book of Luke, where we're going to read from chapter 8, verses 40 to 56. This passage actually tells the story of two main encounters with Jesus, and we're going to look at each of these in turn over today and tomorrow. But let's read the passage first of all from Luke chapter 8. This is what we read there. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, "Your daughter's dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith, and she will be healed." When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, but he said, "Stop the weeping. She isn't dead, she's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she had died. Then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And at that moment her life returned, and she immediately stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted that they not tell anyone what had happened. Two great stories, but today I really want to think about Jairus and the story of the healing and indeed resurrection of his daughter. And I want us to think also about Jesus and how he responds in the midst of this situation. So Jairus, first of all, what do we know about him? Well, interestingly enough, twice in the passage, we're told he was a leader of the local synagogue. I wonder why that's relevant. I wonder why Luke felt the need to say that, not just once, but twice. Is there underlying that information that perhaps because he was a leader and a religious man and had looked after the synagogue, that somehow he was perhaps more deserving of a miracle, deserving of Jesus' intervention, deserving of Jesus' time? Or I wonder if actually that even counted against him to some extent. I wonder if Jairus found it a wee bit more difficult to even approach Jesus because he was aware of his reputation and aware that as he would be seen approaching Jesus in his hour of need, that would give a message to the whole synagogue that here was a synagogue ruler, believing that perhaps Jesus was this long-awaited promised Messiah, the Son of David's, the Son of God's. So is it significant that here we have even a leader putting trust in Jesus in his hour of need? And so we read this story. Here's a young child, possibly his only child. It says his only daughter, but it possibly also means she was his only child. She was about 12 years of age, and for whatever reason, she had taken unwell, and life was seeping out of her. What do you do in that context? Put yourself in that situation. Even in our country today, that would be a horrible, panic-stricken moment where you'd be rushing to phone the doctor, 999, get an ambulance, get her to hospital. But Jairus and his wife, well, they didn't have luxuries of phoning 999 and having paramedics on the scene within moments to take over and administer help. They were totally helpless. They had tried one or two, perhaps, medical remedies in the past, but nothing obviously had seemed to work. And as they look on this young, fragile little girl, I'm sure the 12 years that she lived were flashing before their eyes, gone in a moment. They'd be remembering the day of her birth. They'd be seeing her there. I mean, those of you who are listening who are parents know the sense of responsibility you feel towards your children and how helpless you feel when you're unable to do anything to help them in their time of greatest needs. So they were watching around this girl and just watching her life slip away from her and her health continually deteriorate. And eventually, in panic, he heads for Jesus. Jesus is just coming back from the other side of the water, and we're told that immediately Jairus seems to go ahead and find Jesus. He comes and he falls at Jesus' feet. He pleads with them in front of everybody, "Please come to my house." I mean, that would have been significant in a small village, in a small town, where the leader of the synagogue was bowing down, begging, pleading with this Messiah to come to my house. I need you. I'm desperate. Please come and heal her. And Jesus, as we know, agrees to go along with him. But on the way, he's delayed by this other story of the encounter with this woman, which we will look at tomorrow. How frustrating, though, for Jairus. Here he is in panic. Here he is with desperation. Here he is with a sense of urgency, a sense of, "Quick, Jesus, quick." And Jesus is ambling along saying, "Who touched me? Who was that that came and touched my cloak?" What would you do if you were in Jairus' situation? You'd almost be wanting to explode. It must have taken him every ounce of self-control to stay silent and watch what was unfolding with Jesus and this woman. Because right now, at this moment, let's be honest, Jairus wouldn't care about this woman and her needs and her problems. He had a dying daughter and every second counted. And lo and behold, it's too late. He sees a servant coming from his house. "Your child's dead," he says. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." And Jesus just turns to him and says, "Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Just have faith. And she will be healed." They go to the house, and of course, all the people are mourning. Jesus seems to treat them in a rather unsympathetic way, but really what was going on here is one way that the community and the neighbours would show a sense of solidarity with this family who'd lost a child and who would show support would be that the woman in particular of the village would come and weep and wail at the top of their voices. The louder it was and the more people that were there, then the more you were seen to be entering into the grief and support of this family. And very often people would even pay, like we would perhaps pay an undertaker nowadays to come and deal with the body. They would pay for professional mourners to come, and it would be their job to come and just to weep and to wail outside the house. They may never have met the deceased person in their life, but they were just paid to perform this ritual of grief on behalf of the community. And Jesus sends them packing. Off you go, he says. The girl's not even dead, she's just asleep. But of course, they knew she was dead, and that's why they burst into laughter so quickly. And Jesus too knew that she was dead. He goes in, he speaks to the child, "Get up." And at that moment, her life is returned. I want us to think just a few moments about Jesus' attitude here. I love this passage because Jesus is frustratingly really unperturbed with everything that's happening here. In the midst of both stories where there seems to be urgency and panic and fear and desperation, Jesus glides through it all the time. When Jairus says, come to my house, Jesus goes, but he doesn't go with any sense of panic or any sense of urgency or any sense of stress. He just casually starts walking to Jairus' house, potentially as if he's got all the time in the world. And then he's distracted and put off by this other woman who comes and looks for a miracle on the way. And then even when people come, I mean, think about how difficult that must have been. Even when people come and say the child's dead, leave the teacher alone. Jesus isn't any more put off or discouraged than he was when Jairus first spoke to him. And then when he gets to the house, he's got a community of people outside weeping and wailing at the top of their voices. He was surrounded by grief and by tears and by laments and by sadness and everything else. And still, Jesus is not put off. From the moment when Jairus said, "Please come to my house," and Jesus consented to go, nothing is actually making him flustered in the least. Absolutely amazing. And even when he goes in and sees the reality of a dead body. And I don't know if you've ever seen a dead body, but a young 12-year-old child with the life just gone from it and that look of death, he's still unfazed. He still isn't put out at all. He's never caught off guard. He's never daunted by what he's faced. He's totally unmoved by it, not in an emotional sense, but unmoved in terms of he knows what he's got to do and what's required of him and when he has to do it. And none of the circumstances, the panic of the father, the distraction of the woman, the weeping and wailing of the crowds, the pronunciation of death over the body, or even the look of a dead body itself, nothing actually phases Jesus. And we need to remember that sometimes, because there are many, many times in our life, if we've not had them in the past, we're sure to have them in the future, where, you know, when our back's against the wall and we are panicking, we are frightened, we are scared, we are pleading with Jesus, "Come, Jesus, do this." And then we get frustrated sometimes that Jesus doesn't seem to enter always into our panic and respond as quickly as we are looking for him to respond. And he doesn't react always with the speed that we will look at him to react. He just seems to do his own thing in his own time. He knows the whole picture from the beginning to the end, you see. And nothing makes him shake. Nothing makes him scared of what needs to be done. he just goes about in that sort of calm manner. That's the sort of Jesus we can trust, actually. Because the turning point in the story for Jairus was when the servant told him, "Your daughter is dead," and Jesus turns and says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, just keep trusting." And folks, there are many, many times in our life where we need to hear these words again. Many times when we are afraid, many times when we're sick with fear, many times when we're looking into the future and we just don't see a way out. And we see the worst case scenario unfolding before our eyes in whatever situation it may be. And really, we're praying, we're fasting, we're calling out to God. And we need to hear, and maybe the number one encounter we did in that situation is to hear Jesus say, "Stop worrying. Stop worrying. I've got this all in control." And even if it turns out in ways you don't want it to turn out, "I've got this all in control. I have your future all in control. I know what I'm doing here. Don't worry. Keep trusting." You know, I love this way, and we saw this last week as well with the raising of the son from the widow of Nain, where Jesus speaks over corpses and speaks life back into them. You know, it reminds me of Abraham's story, where he's promised, even in his old age, that he and his wife Sarah will have a child. And Paul talks about it in the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 17. He talks about Abraham's faith. And this is what he says there. "Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing." I love that expression. Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. So Paul would say to us, when we're panicked, when we're full of fear, when we're brokenhearted, when we see things ending that we don't want to see ending, when things are changing in a way we don't want them to change, when God seems to be bringing something to a close and not being quick to respond to our panicked pleas and prayers, hear the words of Jesus. "Don't be afraid, but keep believing in the God who can bring back even dead things to life again. And even when he doesn't, he can create new things out of nothing, and new things out of pain and brokenness and tragedy and disaster." Jairus and Jesus. Jairus, the heartbroken father of a young girl, panicked and dreading the life leaving her, quite rightly so. And Jesus, in no hurry, easily distracted, but focused on what he's doing with Jairus, never wavering in confidence, never wavering in his sense of peace and purpose, never wavering in his faith and ability, never wavering that he is in control and nothing threatens that. Whether it be pronunciations of death given like a final verdict, Jesus had the words of final verdict. Whether it was the noise of voices and crowds bewailing, "The girl's dead, the girl's dead," Jesus listened to no voices except the voice of his father. Even faced with the dead corpse, Jesus is unfazed and speaks life. So whatever you might be going through now, or whatever you may face in the future, it could be horrible. It could be painful. It could be heartbreaking. But even in the midst of that horrible, worst moment of your life, hear the words of Jesus. Don't be afraid. Just keep trusting. In the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the devastation, keep trusting and believe in the God who can still bring life from situations that are dead. And even when he doesn't, he can bring new things out of nothing. Let's pray. Father God, we put our trust in Jesus afresh today. We love just his quiet, solid confidence throughout this story. That nothing daunts him, Lord. Nothing makes him waver in the resolution that he knows what he's doing. Father, we can put our trust in a Saviour like that. And so, Father, whatever situations we are facing, maybe right now we're fearful about all sorts of situations, the future, the health of loved ones, our own health, our financial situation, things going on in our family or our community or our world. And Lord, it can be difficult when we're overwhelmed sometimes by voices round about us speaking lies and alternative versions of the truth that come against our faith, that come against our beliefs, that come against our desire to trust in you. A cacophony of voices, Lord, just shouting the opposite and making us think we're even crazy to believe in a God such as yourself. But Jesus faced all these things, and he silenced all these voices in his head, and he just quietly and steadily pursued the will of the Father. Father, give us that resolution. Give us that determination to trust the rock which is unshakable. And Father, in whatever situations we face, let us always hear your Spirit remind us of the words of Jesus. Don't be afraid. Just keep trusting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.